WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. We're going to remember travel writer, memoirist, and historian Jan Morris. She died Friday in her home country of Wales at the age of 94. Until 1972, she was known as James Morris. She changed her name to Jan at the age of 46 after transitioning to female and having gender confirmation surgery. 2 years later, in 1974, she wrote about gender in her memoir, Conundrum. She wrote, "I spent half my life traveling in foreign places. I have only lately come to see that incessant wandering as an outer expression of my inner journey." When I spoke with her in 1989, she just published a book called Pleasures of a Tangled Life. In the prologue, she wrote that there was a time when, new to womanhood, she tried to forget that she'd ever lived as a man. But it had grown on her over the years that this was not only intellectually dishonest, but rather dull. Pleasures of a Tangled Life focused on the pleasures that had sustained her over the years. One of those pleasures was androgyny. I asked her to explain.
Well, androgyny means to me that I have shared, if not in the present, at least in the past, a lot of the emotions and the experiences of both genders. And why I say the beginning of the book, chiefly to make you smile, that I highly recommend the advantages of androgyny, why I said that was that in my experience, if you share both the emotions of both sexes, neither sex is frightened of you. Both sexes are willing to confide in you. Nobody thinks you're a threat. And since it seems to me that life, my life anyway, has been an urge, a constant urge towards reconciliation and unity, that does seem to be an enormous advantage in life's quest.
When you were still writing as James Morris, you were best known for being the reporter who climbed Mount Everest with Edmund Hillary. You were there with Edmund Hillary when he scaled to the top, and you were the first person to report it to the press. What was the experience like when you got to the top there?
When you say sort of famous, you got it right.
Yeah.
it was Andy Warhol's fame, wasn't it? 15 minutes of it. But in fact, it changed my life, you know, because I was young and having a sort of specious success of that kind alters one's whole attitude and attitudes to oneself. I was only there simply to write about it, you know. And the excitement for me was not so much actually the getting to the top of the mountain as the excitement of getting a scoop, as we used to in those days to call it, the only one I ever had.
You've traveled and written about travel for much of your life, and you think you write in a different style than many American travel writers do.
Yes, I do, and I think there are historical reasons for it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, well, you write that you had to learn to see Africa in non-colonial terms. What were some of the things you were up against because of your own upbringing that you felt you had to unlearn when traveling?
Certainly, I think the imperial aspect of it, because people of my age, I'm 63 this year, people of my age were brought up in Britain to think of the world as ours, really. And added to that is the old English culture, rather than arrogant insular culture, which led people back in the 18th and 19th centuries to go abroad in a spirit absolutely of slightly arrogant independence. And so one went abroad in a spirit of unfair and illicit privilege. I remember Alan Moorhead writing about the British officers in Cairo during the war, and he said that all of them seemed to think that they came from very rich, privileged backgrounds. And of course, they didn't at all. The richness and the privilege came from history and from the empire. And we were all, it was true of us all. And that is something that I did gradually unlearn. Like all the rest of us, when I was very young, I went abroad in that spirit. Not exactly of jingoism, but certainly of overweening confidence.
Mm-hmm. I think it was at the end of Conundrum you wrote, "I have lived the life of a man, I live now the life of a woman. One day, perhaps, I shall transcend both." Are you still interested in transcending both? And what do you mean by that?
I think it's conceivable that I have transcended both, as a matter of fact. I feel myself to be part of each and of both, and that seems to me not unhappy situation.
Did you say happy or unhappy?
Not unhappy.
Oh.
Somewhere in between the two.
What?
I rather like these double negatives.
Why would you prefer transcending both sexes rather than being part of
because,
one?
Because, as I said before, it seems to me the purpose of my life anyways is a quest for unity and a reconciliation. And that's a beginning, isn't it?
Okay, well, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much indeed.
My interview with Jan Morris was recorded in 1989. She died last Friday at the age of 94.